We will begin with opening statements, and the first candidate is Mike Perrin.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Perrin. I am a candidate for City Commission here in Kalamazoo. I'm for personal liberty. I believe in our state's constitution and our federal constitution. I ran for state representative last November, so some of you may know me from that. I really kind of went into the Vine neighborhood and a lot of other neighborhoods door to door. And I ran against Sean McCann for state representative this past November. One of my big things is in reducing property taxes, and I am not for a city tax that has been passed around here. And one of my other, you know, main issues is, you know, trying to reduce and get our budget back together. I went to Western Michigan University. I have a bachelor's degree from here in psychology and a minor in social work, and I have a master's degree in clinical psychology from Western also. I thank you very much, and hopefully I can get your vote this November 5th.
Tracy Hall, 1 minute for an opening statement.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tracy Hall. I've lived in Kalamazoo for 20 years. I'm a proud graduate of Western Michigan University. I have an MA, MBA in political science. I teach at WMU and KVCC in courses in political science and sociology. I believe that my academic background as well as my teaching provides me with a strong understanding of the issues that not only impact our local government, but those issues that impact our community. I'm excited to run. It's different to be on this side. I've been a proud participant of the other IGP members in the IGP events in the past, and so this is kind of unique to be on this side, but I'm looking forward to the forum, and I hope that you consider voting for me in November.
David Anderson, 1 minute for opening statement.
Thank you very much. My name is David Anderson. I'm running for re-election to the Kalamazoo City Commission. I've been in the commission for four terms. My path here is actually through a variety of places, one of them being here at Western. I have an accounting degree here from Western. That's unique from all candidates. My path also has taken me from intentional communities of my youth through PTAs that my participating when my children went to school here, through neighborhood associations, and here to the City Commission. I'm running because I believe deeply in the power of local governance. And I hope that if you do not already feel the same way, by the time you leave here tonight, you will share that with me. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Bobby Hopewell, 1 minute for opening statement.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad that you're all here. Thanks for having us. I'm Bobby Hopewell. I have the proud honor of being your mayor and have been for the last 6 years. I spent my time truly every waking moment. Well, maybe not everyone, but almost everyone, thinking about this city. I wake up thinking about Kalamazoo and how we can make it better. I go to bed with that same thought. I'm a student here at Western. I just completed my midterms, my last midterm ever, I hope. And, you know, I'm running again because we need folks on the commission that are going to concentrate on the challenges that we face. But understand that though we have challenges, we have many more opportunities beyond them. The obstacles may be there, but the opportunities are beyond them. So you're going to hear me talk about the greatness of our city, not ignoring the opportunities or the challenges or the things that are affecting us negatively that we've been hearing about in the paper. Well, we're going to have a great discussion. Thanks for being here.
Fred Lee Lawrence II, 1 minute for opening statement.
Thank you very much. My name is Fred Lawrence II, lifelong resident of the city of Kalamazoo. I have 10 grandchildren. My wife is Mary Esther Lawrence. I really believe in the city of Kalamazoo. Currently, I'm going to KVCC. I'm taking up my HVAC certification, and I'm almost finished winter, spring. God willing, I'll be done with my facility maintenance certificate. It's been a long haul. Everything that happens at the city level affects everybody at the local level, as in residents. I went through the 2008. I understand the frustration of trying to go to school and reinvent yourself in your 40s. And I want to let people know that in the city of Kalamazoo, we still have a lot of opportunity. The number one reason we have a lot of opportunity is we've got Western and all these beautiful colleges and KVCC here. Thank you.
Jeffrey Weissman, 1 minute for opening statement.
My name is Jeff Weissman. I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Kalamazoo. I graduated from Western Michigan University with a degree in business administration. I've been involved in the business community and recycling for the past 45—no, since 1965. I would like to take my expertise and the things that I gained and my passion for the city and apply it at the city commission level. I would like to use the background I have in turning around the downtown and creating the festival site, the Arcadia Creek Project, and working on the various boards and committees and move those out to the neighborhood and try to bring the neighborhoods back to where they should be. I would like to provide them with a safe place to live, a good family life, and a downtown or a community-based public safety. Thank you.
Barbara Hamilton Miller, 1 minute for opening statement.
Good evening. I'm Barb Hamilton Miller. I was born and raised in Kalamazoo. I'm finishing up my fourth term with the Kalamazoo City Commission. Want to try again for a fifth term. Before that, I was on the school board for 8 years. I have 3 kids and 3 grandkids. It's easier for me to talk about the great Mayor Bobby Hopewell or Bob Sinabro, but I'm here to talk about myself. So I hope you'll listen and be kind to my answers, whatever they may be. But I believe in Kalamazoo, and I believe in what we're doing, and I want to continue to see it grow and thrive, and we need to do that in terms of intergovernmental cooperation. We've got to all work together to make one big, strong community instead of little individual communities. With that, I hope you'll vote for me on November 5th, only 5 days away. Thank heavens.
Jack C. Urban, 1 minute for opening statement.
Hi, I'm Jack Urban. I'm the only non-incumbent candidate in this race who has previous experience in elected office. My 6 years on the Kalamazoo County Commission gave me budget preparation experience and gave me a countywide perspective. Going into the next few years here, we're facing in the city a trend of deficits that needs to be corrected soon. I think the way we need to do that is to not depend on the state or the federal government for help. We need to look to our own resources throughout the county so that as we move toward the future in the next 20 years, we create for ourselves a truly metropolitan community with a metropolitan government. It'll take a while, but if we start now and are deliberate and careful, it can be done, and we'll be glad we did it. Thanks. Please remember to vote for me on November 5th.
E. Allen Hayes, 1 minute for opening statement.
I am E. Allen Hayes, pastor, minister for over 40-plus years, Vietnam-era veteran, graduate of Shaw University in criminal justice, married to a lovely lady who have been an educator for over 40 years, Vanessa Hayes, teacher at Millwood. I am running because it is overdue, and we have a new arising with you in mind. And with us coming together as one family, we are able to deal with a lot of issues that are facing Kalamazoo.
Don Cooney, 1 minute for opening statement.
Hi, my name is Don Cooney. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. I teach here at Western in the School of Social Work. I have a PhD in social work and social research and 2 master's degrees. I think I bring a lot to the commission. I've been on the city commission for 16 years. I've been working in communities for the last 45 years. And I teach courses that have a lot to do with what we do in the city every day: social policy, community organizing, race relations. I'm running again because I believe in democracy. I believe that people should have control over the issues that affect their lives. And I believe that city government can do a lot to make communities safe, beautiful, and communities of opportunity for all. So I'm looking for another chance because there's a lot of people in this city who are hurting. And I want to put the issues of working people and the poor front and center on the public agenda.
Hello, my name is Rico White. I am also an Air Force vet with children that are also in the Air Force. And I'm running for city commission because I believe Kalamazoo is the Promise City. It's a city where we can expect to preserve, enhance, and transform our community for future generations. See, I believe that a strong city-community relationship is necessary to foster some of the concerns pertaining to our Kalamazoo residents. If elected, we as a body of commissioners have to be able to navigate through an unforeseen set of problems. So with that in mind, I ask you that you look forward to November 5th voting for me, Rico White. Thank you.
Stephanie Moore, 1 minute for opening statement.
Thank you. Good evening. I am Stephanie Moore. I am a lifelong resident of the city of Kalamazoo. I'm a proud homeowner in the Northside neighborhood. I'm a parent, a grandparent. I'm also enrolled here at Western Michigan University. We'll be going into the School of Social Work. I have the opportunity. I came to the commission as a grassroots organizer. I've been a seasoned organizer for well over 18 years, working in communities not just in Kalamazoo, but all across the state of Michigan. And I had the opportunity to come and learn a lot about the city of Kalamazoo, the organization, how it works, but more importantly, how do I take that information back to the overall community? So I prided myself on really sharing resources with individuals, helping them to get jobs, to get job ready, to help sustain and create jobs here in the city of Kalamazoo for all of our residents. I have the opportunity to work with a lot of young people from college age to high school to even elementary students so that they can actually realize the promise and be promise ready. So I hope you vote for me November 5th.
Nicholas Boyd, 1 minute for opening statement.
Hi, my name is Nick Boyd, and I'm so glad for this opportunity, first of all. And yes, I am asking for your vote this coming Tuesday. We need new vision, we need new leadership, and we need robust partnerships to move our city forward. We need to meet the challenge of our $3.24 million budget deficit. I'm a small business owner, a licensed financial service representative, and I was lucky enough to be the first runner-up in 2011. I happen to be the chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals, also a member of the Friends and Recreation Board. I sit on a few other boards in town and a youth leader at my church. I truly believe Kalamazoo is a great city. We have the Kalamazoo Promise, new schools, multiple colleges. I think we need to start forming greater partnerships to move our city forward. I hope to tell you more about it tonight. Let's move forward together. Let's work with a 2020 vision.
Robert Sinabro, 1 minute for opening statement.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for being here. I'm City Commissioner Bob Sinabro. I'm running for my second full term on the commission. I was born, raised, and educated in this city. I was a Millwood kid, raised my kids here, K-College graduate, went to Cornell Law School, came back, and worked for 32 years in city government. I left as a city department head in 2005, and I'm back by virtue of the fact that the late and esteemed Terry Koseski passed tragically. I was appointed to serve out his term. I'm running for my second full term. I'm a social progressive. I'm a fiscal conservative. I bring pragmatic, balanced stability to our city commission. I happen to think the 49th Kalamazoo City Commission's done good work. I happen to think now we're on the cusp of a lot of exciting new challenges. I'm asking that I be allowed to continue my work ethic, my pragmatism, and my non-ideological approach to these tough issues we face. So I'm asking for my re-election as Bob Sinabro in November 5th. Thank you very much.
Now we will move on to questions. Our questions have been submitted tonight from Western Michigan University Professor Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class, as well as from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. We are getting questions as well from the audience. Moving on now to questions from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. Mike Perrin, you get the first question. You brought up in your opening statement that you don't think that Kalamazoo needs a city income tax. That's one of the questions here. Explain your position on that. 1 minute.
Well, to be honest, my wife is a school teacher, and she did work in Battle Creek where they do have a city tax. And to be honest, my personal experience with it was horrible. What I think that would do is, in our tough economic times that we're all facing right now, to have each and every one of us that live here and work here taxed 1%, I don't think that's the answer. And anybody that doesn't live here and works here would get taxed a 0.5%. I believe that there's a lot of consolidation that can be done within the city. We have a 911 dispatch that we've been trying to consolidate for the past 5 years. A little bit of my experience is I've been on the executive committee for the KGOP for the past 2 years, so we deal with some budgeting and some other issues within our party. But I believe that consolidation is going to be the key answer, and I don't believe that a tax is the right thing at this time. Thank you.
Next question is for Tracy Hall. This comes from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. With the city's budget shortfall projected at over $3 million, are the neighborhood groups at risk of losing funding?
Unfortunately, probably, right? I think that in a perfect world, no, right? And that's I believe in neighborhoods. I believe Kalamazoo, the beautiful, oh, yes. Our beauty of our city is our neighborhoods, right? And we need to do what we can to make sure that we are funding them to build small businesses, right? And to keep our promises. So if we promise that they're going to get X amount of money, we should try to make true on that promise. It's difficult in the budgetary issue times that we're at, and there's no doubt that we have to look where we can cut, what other things we can do. But the issue is, are we listening to the neighborhoods? And if we are we being transparent with them? And we have to communicate with them on what we as the city commission and what the city can do and what we cannot do. And that will go a long way to upholding our end of the bargain as a city commissioner.
David Anderson, this question from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. How important is the 911 dispatch for Kalamazoo?
That's a good question. I was just in this room about a week ago when the presentation was made related to consolidated dispatch. And I think that there were two parts to the discussion. One is that unlike our conversation about consolidation always saving money, this is not going to be a cheaper system. But on the other side, when you get our officials from the police department and fire department in front of us to talk about the need that we have for an updated, efficient, countywide dispatch system, I think the case has been made. People have been working for years to put this together. I think it'd be a very positive thing for Kalamazoo County. As a matter of fact, Kalamazoo County is one of the few counties that does not have consolidated dispatch in the state of Michigan. I'm very supportive of the idea.
Bobby Hopewell, this question from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. The Stewart neighborhood has been fortunate to have a low crime rate. However, there has been an increase in petty crimes, stealing chairs, plants, water hoses, tools, etc. What will you do as a commissioner to end the crime wave and restore our neighborhood's quality of life?
Wow, ending the crime wave. Let me tell you, I'm not sure that I have the answer for ending the crime wave. We are going to need to continue to work with public safety. We're all going to have to be eyes on deck. One of the things that the chief always says is that he has 300 people, but there's 74,000 of us. His 300 people and their eyes can only do so much. Their responsive unit, typically, when you call 911, but working with our community police officers and with the neighborhoods, that's how we figure out how we're going to solve these interesting petty crimes that are happening across the street from me, because I live in the Stewart neighborhood or next door to me. My neighbor had things taken. We've been taking care of each other. We've been looking out for each other. I know David Anderson and I live next door to the neighbor that had things stolen. We're watching out for each other's property a little bit more. We're letting each other know when we're on vacation. But I'm not sure that public safety or any city commissioner is going to solve an issue of stupidity from individuals that want to take our stuff.
Fred Lee Lawrence II, this question comes from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. If the election is like other city elections, few persons will turn out to vote. What can your candidacy offer the voters to get them to turn out?
My candidacy can bring out a fresh face, something that will be honest. I will try to be as trustworthy as I can to you without hurting your feelings. The reason the commissioners have not told you why we're in a $3.5 million deficit is because of the fact we don't have any more land. They want to consolidate because, unfortunately, years ago, which was a beauty to Kalamazoo, Western grew. Some of the other colleges grew. What we're having now is structural problems because of that. The reason the 1.1% and the 0.5% has been bounced around, we have to kind of put money into the pot, like a well, water in the well, to get resources out, to be able to expand some things, to be able to bring new businesses in. Without that income, we wouldn't be able to do that. Maybe some other people will ask them what their other ideas are for the structural problem we have in the city of Kalamazoo. Thank you.
Jeffrey Wiseman, this question comes from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. Do you think it's important for a city commissioner to stay involved in their local neighborhoods once they become a commissioner?
Well, I think it's very important that a a commissioner who gets the votes from the neighborhoods, particularly the neighborhoods that they represent, should stay involved with those neighborhoods and should live in those neighborhoods. I live in the downtown. I'm a resident of the downtown. We created our own neighborhood association, and we have to maintain an involvement for the future of the association and for the betterment of the people, and to answer the questions about petty crimes and quality of life behaviors and so forth. Thank you.
Barbara Hamilton Miller, this question from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. There are term limits for citizen advisory boards. Should there be term limits for city commissioners?
I don't think so, unless they're 16 or 18 years long. Where's Don? I think the institutional memory is really important, and just how we do things is important, and the transition periods. I hope we spread out the terms, but I think term limits would be really hard. I have to confess that however many years ago that was, that I did vote for term limits for state reps, and now that I see it's really stupid because you lose all that institutional memory. You end up being a bureaucracy instead of real people trying to solve real problems. And I think the commission can do that when they stay on there longer than 4, 6, 8 years. Thank you.
Jack C. Urban, this question comes from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. If you build it, they will come, is a well-known quote from the movie Field of Dreams. What do you plan on building as a commissioner and why?
Well, what I would like to see built is a welcoming community that's a sustainable community that's walkable, that is welcoming for people who may not want to own a car and have to drive it around and park it. I want to make it appealing to the next generation of people who, after they finish the school here in town, one of the colleges or one of the trade schools or whatever, they can find work here that's fulfilling. Because on the coast, it's a lot more expensive to live than it is in Kalamazoo. So we have a lot of going for ourselves as long as we can maintain neighborhoods that are welcoming and safe. Public safety is key for that. So that's one thing that I will be stressing. How we do that, how we fund that is an issue that needs close attention.
E. Allen Hayes, this question comes from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. With a budget deficit and a number of city employees taking early retirement, how will the city be able to cut the budget?
Well, one of the good things that we can do and should do is that we have many of our vacant homes and businesses that we're not getting revenue for. We have a section right down in the train station that's been sitting there for over 2 years, or maybe three, that we're not getting revenue for. And as it relates to cutting the budget, we have a lot of our people who work in Kalamazoo, perhaps over 75% of the folks who work there, that don't live here. And so we're missing that revenue as well. And so there's much that can be done, and even with reserve police officers, instituting that to help our police officers to be the best they could be.
Don Cooney, this question comes from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. Our mayor referred to coming to the table on the city's finances. Does this table exist? When and where does it meet? How can we get involved? What efforts have you made to understand the city's budget?
Well, first of all, we have budget hearings, and the budget is put on the table, and everyone is invited, and we get about 2 people that come to the meetings. And we have open city commission meetings every other Monday, and people are welcome to come down. Our phone numbers are public. They're in the book, and anybody that has an issue, they can call. And believe me, they do. So our system is very, very open. But it's too late after we pass the budget to come and say, well, I wish that was in there. So we're going to be starting this right after the election, and we need you to let us know what your priorities are. We're not saying we're going to give everybody all the priorities they asked for, but we'll take it seriously and we'll do the best we can to do what's best for your neighborhood and for the city.
Rico White, this question comes from Professor Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. Do you support an across-the-board budget cut for all departments to balance the budget?
That's a fabulous question. I have reviewed the budget for the 2013 fiscal year, and for me to say that cuts across the board right now would not be the smartest answer. Without actually looking at the items that are in the budget, getting with the staff administration and the new commissioners that are going to be embodied November 5th. So without actually exploring that information, I wouldn't want to say yes, we would want to do budget cuts across the board.
Stephanie Moore, this next question comes from the Stewart Area Restoration Association. What is your favorite historic property, landmark, or site in Kalamazoo, and why? And how do you think preservation and adaptive reuse of historic buildings is or is not a central tenet to downtown redevelopment and neighborhood stabilization?
My favorite historic place in Kalamazoo. I think for me, and I don't want to sound, superficial, but the home that Mayor Hopewell lives in, at one point, on the deed, if I'm not mistaken, it said that it could not be owned by an African American. And when you look back at our times of where we were and where we come to now, when there are opportunities, when we have access to equal and fair opportunities to become homeowners and sustain home ownership, where we can be a part of building safe and vibrant neighborhoods that are welcoming and inviting, and that you can really raise your family in and make sure that you're in cooperation with not just your neighbors, but with public safety and with your neighborhood associations. To me, that really sticks in mind for me because it just shows the potential, not just for Kalamazoo, but our overall region and how we can offer this equal and fair access and consistency all across the board for people to actually achieve the American dream, not just in Kalamazoo, but all over.
Nicholas Boyd, this question comes from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. What can you do to lower poverty levels?
Poverty is one of those things we really have to look at. I've been encouraged. I've been able to work earlier this year before taking another load of work on. Was able to work with Don Cooney and Stephanie Moore, Commissioner Don Cooney, Commissioner Stephanie Moore, on a poverty reduction initiative. I really think we need to look at efforts in other communities around this nation. We were introduced to something called the Nashville Half and Ten model. This is where all partners, all nonprofit organizations, corporations, and municipalities, surrounding municipalities, I believe, were even named in that initiative, where they were able to partner together. If you look into it, it's NashvilleHalfAndTen.org. You can look it up. You can see that getting groups to actually come to that table they talked about and talk about real issues, real problems, and just having that conversation and stopping the redundant services that were going on, saved them money, and created an economic engine. I really think we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to work that wheel.
Robert Sinabro, this question from Dave Houghton's Urban Politics class. What plans do you have to retain graduates in the local area?
Obviously, education. We're the city of promise, and promise is materialized itself in many ways. We're making some progress. We're not all there. We also want to be a cool city to keep our graduates here. That's an effort that we've started. If you go downtown and look at what we're trying to do there, I'm familiar with other so-called college towns in this state. I think Kalamazoo's made some strides. I think it's going to be a combination of economic development in the downtown area, partnering with our great universities and our private colleges. We have some very good ones here, and maintaining the flow. We want to keep our graduates here, and I know because I'm a father, and my two children have both graduated, but they're not coming back to Kalamazoo. We can turn the tide on that. And I think we have a great university here at Western Michigan University. I like the partnerships with President Dunn that we've started.
We're going to move on to some questions from the audience. Mike Perrin, this question from the audience. Kalamazoo is known as the education community. In an era of tight budgets, what role does the city play in supporting communities and schools so that our kids can achieve the promise?
Well, I think they play a very important part. Western Michigan University is obviously building a medical school here, and that's a great, great, great thing. We are expanding as Kalamazoo, and yes, they are a non-taxed, entity. So are some churches and other things. One thing I did learn about churches is even if the property, if they buy property separately from the church, that property is not taxed whether they build on it, worship on it, or do anything. Those are things we need to look at, too. Kalamazoo, going a little bit on Bob's question here, I graduated here. I came here in 95, and I loved it, and I stayed here. You know, I'm that example of a person just like you that went to Western Michigan University, got my degrees, decided to use my education, and stay in the community. Granted, I work for a beer company, and I'm not using my master's in psychology right now, but times are tough, and jobs are hard to find. So you do what you got to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy Hall, this question from the audience. Except for parking and housing enforcement of city ordinances is nearly non-existent. Enforcement of city ordinances is nearly non-existent, according to this question. This is a revenue stream the city is missing out on. What do you think of creating a volunteer group of reserve police officers who would be empowered to ticket violators of city ordinances?
To be honest, I'm not comfortable with the idea. I understand where it would save money, but that role belongs with our public safety, and that's what we pay them for. And I understand the need to increase our revenue stream. So we ask them, and I know with budget cuts, things are tight with the Kalamazoo Public Safety, but we ask them to enforce their ordinances. And as a community member, if we see ordinances being broken, it's our duty to report them. Kalamazoo City's website makes it very easy to report violations. So it's also up to us to do our job. But I'm not comfortable with using a reserve police force or reserve volunteer force to enforce these ordinances. I think it should be in the hands of those who are educated in this area. Thank you.
David Anderson, since the city of Kalamazoo is in such a deep financial crisis, what for-profit business do you see going on the corner of North and Douglas, the old fire station?
That is a perfect question for me because I live a few hundred feet from that corner. And I've been trying to redevelop that corner for almost 20 years. That corner has really gotten in worse shape over the course of time. And the ideas I have had are coffee shop, ice cream, laundromat came through, place for the arts. As a matter of fact, when West Michigan Glass was looking to move, the spot I was looking for was that old Harding's in the middle. It has beautiful terrazzo floors, no problem with glass being melted in there. I think it is close to K College. I've done traffic counts on that corner. Over 15,000 cars go by it every day. It is an entryway to the city of Kalamazoo. We have fantastic opportunities on that corner. We have the nonprofit partners that can support it. And if we can get a group of people together to get a project in mind, I think it can be done.
Bobby Hopewell, as someone who is public transit dependent, I often have to walk in the middle of the road in winter because no one shovels their sidewalk. Will you support enforcement of the existing ordinances on shoveling sidewalks?
Yes.
You're good? You're good.
No,
you got a minute. You can use it or not.
This drives me crazy. And I know my neighbor, he's more crazy about shoveling than I am. But all we ask is that people think about others. I mean, it's that simple. And, I shovel my neighbors because it needs it at the moment, whether they're out of the house or not, because people need to walk and get around. Absolutely, I'm willing. I want to enforce it. I wish they'd give me a badge to enforce it or a trolley or something if I had some time. I don't know. But it is important, and you can tell this is a little passionate for me because it drives me crazy. So, yeah, let's do it.
Fred Lee Lawrence II, what will you do or what do you do now to support Western Michigan University and K College students and to encourage student involvement in the community?
Well, one thing that we could start doing is giving you guys a tax break to stay in the city of Kalamazoo, to utilize some of the business areas that are blighted, to try to, since we're not utilizing those properties anyway, to utilize you with a tax break or reducing some of those overhead costs to start businesses up to allow you guys to start up businesses, especially in that Vine neighborhood where we have the Fourth Coast and Central area. I think that's ideal to expand on what Fourth Coast and what that little area is doing and some of our nook areas. We could expand that to Burdick. We can expand that to the Douglas area, like David Anderson was talking about. We can do that on Rose Street and certain areas. What we need to do is get you guys involved, get you guys connected in the community, and keep you in the community. And that's what I look forward to doing. Thank you.
Jeffrey Wiseman, what do you see as a solution to address the tragic literacy issue that plagues adults and children in Kalamazoo?
I'm pretty sure we have adult programs. We could encourage people to get into some of the adult programs. We could also work with the schools, could work with the children, and the children could sometimes encourage the parents, although I know there's probably a little friction that happens there. But mostly, I think, just through the adult programs that are offered in the community to make people aware of them. Thank you.
Barbara Hamilton Miller, how do you foresee handling the racial profiling study going forward?
I talked to the chief about it a couple weeks ago, and it was interesting. He obviously is not going to put this on a shelf and let it gather dust. He called some of the other places that had this study done, and that's what they had done. I was shocked. They just kind of said, we took the information and left it. The chief is not going to do that. He's already had some meetings with his staff on how to, I mean, they're practicing, basically. What should we do when we pull someone over now? He's practicing and trying to put together some policies on whether, I don't personally like the idea, call the lieutenant and say, should we handcuff this guy or what? I think the police need free hand when they, and instincts, because I trust their instincts for the most part, when they pull someone over, to use their instincts on how to treat the person. But I have every faith in the chief and in our public service safety as a whole.
Thank you.
Period.
Jack C. Urban, Michigan has been called the brain drain state. Kalamazoo is no exception to that. What's the city role in attracting, recruiting college graduates from Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo Valley Community College, and Kalamazoo College to stay and put their education to use in Kalamazoo, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, that seems to be very similar to the question that I was asked before. I've had some more time to think about it, but I didn't realize I'd be asked it again.
Random.
Let's think about what young people are looking for these days, and think about what needs to be different in Kalamazoo that builds on what we have, that's going to be attractive to people who are younger than I am. Even though I'm near the twilight of my career, I really am looking forward to finding talent that can take my place and the place of others my age to carry on in Kalamazoo. I think the old guard has held on too long, and I think that we ought to be mentoring and the younger people and putting them in places where they're teed up for success in public.
Thank you.
Public works, public office.
E. Allen Hayes, what will you do to address the lack of diversity within the Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety?
Could you say that again now?
What will you do to address the lack of diversity within the Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety? Question from the audience.
Well, one of the things is that even as it deals with the racial profiling and as it deals with individuals, one who have worn the badge before, I believe that individuals need to understand that if we don't reach within and try to better within, it'll never be any better. And so diversity certainly comes from within. And as I talk with the chief, there are some things that we certainly are desiring to do. And as we get on the city commission, we're certainly looking at working with the Black Police Officer Association as well as some others and some of the citizens who have some concerns as it relates to being the best that we could be.
Don Cooney, with more non-taxable entities, property and property values have gone down. What will you do to ensure stable income for the city?
That is a tough question, because as if you look around the state, you see that there are already four or five cities in Michigan that have emergency city managers because they can't make their budget fit. And the reason is because the formula for funding cities is broken, as our future city manager was saying. Look, we get our money mostly from property taxes and from state shared income. Both of those things are going down. We need to revamp how we fund cities. And I really believe that the only answer to that is by a county-wide system, that we have to consolidate governments, we have to consolidate services. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a city manager, with an emergency city manager like others. So this is a big issue that we have to come to grips with in the state. And I believe the only answer is regionalism.
Rico White, can we take care of our people even with the budget deficit? And who should be put first when the city commission does the budget?
That's a great question. with the current budget, I do believe we can take care of the people. You know, it's necessary, like we once said before, that we definitely have to look where we need to do cuts. As far as what we should cut, is that, can you say that question one more time? I just want to make sure I answer it correctly.
The question was, who should be put first when the city commission does the budget?
Who should be put first? That's a real good question. And I'm just not sure. You know, I would rather be honest. I'm just not sure who we should be putting first unless, just not sure, not sure. So I'd rather be honest than not be honest. So once I take a full look at the budget and then speak with the administrative staff, then I can make a good decision.
Stephanie Moore, aside from the Kalamazoo promise, what do you think is the most promising or noteworthy recent development in Kalamazoo? In other words, what makes this community special?
What makes this community special is the fact that we are a welcoming community. We're extremely diverse. The fact that we celebrate equality, the fact that we are working our behinds off to end poverty in our community, the fact that people have the opportunity to have equal and fair access to employment, to housing, just those quality of life issues that are at the forefront of the public agenda here in Kalamazoo that we all are conscious of. The Kalamazoo Promise is a great opportunity for all of our young people, but the truth is we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of young people who are not promise ready. We have a lot of families that need essential supportive services so that they can get their act together, so that they can get their children to be promise ready. We need to make sure that the parents have jobs, the young people that are coming up have jobs. We have a lot of things to do, but Kalamazoo is a great place to live. I love where I live. I know that you all do too, but with all of our challenges, we have even greater opportunities here in Kalamazoo. We are a melting pot. There's so much richness in Kalamazoo. The fact that we are such an ecumenical community is a great thing.
Thank you. Nicholas Boyd, if the city of Kalamazoo was given $1 million, what would you do with it?
Well, $1 million, I'm in financial services. $1 million means I could probably get 10 to 12% on it in an account, and that means I give it in perpetuity about $100,000 to a cause each year. And there are many wealthy, worthy causes in the city of Kalamazoo. But one of the things I want to talk about and what I'm about and the reason why I'm really running is because we need to work on jobs and we need to work on partnerships. If you talk about crime in our community, I'll talk to you about jobs. If you talk to me about the problems and what's going to keep college graduates here, it's going to be jobs. And we need to talk about how we can be entrepreneurs, how we can stop the mindset of going to work. You're here. You have passions. I believe we should be teaching people how to learn with passion and live with passion and be able to work for themselves. I think we need to start talking about partnerships because that's the way forward for our city. If we don't start working together, we won't be able to stay together. We won't be able to be this great Kalamazoo County. And we can do it better. We can govern better if we govern together.
Thank you. Robert Sinabro, how would you expand the success of downtown to nearby neighborhoods, especially those within walking distance of downtown?
Well, of course, one of the economic tools that we use for downtown is the tax increment financing mechanism and the Downtown Development Authority. And there's a district created which finances a lot of the activities downtown. The tax revenue is captured. There's been a lot of talk over the years of expanding those districts to the outlying neighborhoods. There's been the districts that gradually expanded a little bit. That needs to be looked at, but one has to remember that the revenue that's captured then goes back to that district and cannot be used for general fund services such as public safety. So there's a balancing act there. There's no magic solution to that, but there is certainly within the statutory framework and the ordinance framework the capacity and the ability to expand the districts into neighborhoods. But again, that revenue would be captured and turned back over to those particular neighborhoods. Neighborhoods are a key. The downtown's a neighborhood, as are all the other neighborhoods.
Mike Perrin, you get our next question. We are still going through audience questions right now. What opportunities are there for expanding public transit to other Kalamazoo County communities and outlying townships?
Well, I believe you can expand and consolidate, you know, at the same time. We can do some public transit, you know, millages and stuff like that to help them out. I believe we can all work together as a community, and we can expand outside of our community to become a whole with that. Thanks.
Tracy Hall, in light of the destruction of most of East Campus, should the city of Kalamazoo reexamine or make changes to regulations when it comes to historic buildings?
Well, I'm from the school that history matters, and we should preserve history as much as possible. And one of my favorite drives in Kalamazoo is going up Walnut towards East Campus and seeing East Campus there. I understand the costs involved with keeping it and why Western made the decision it did to demolish part of it. It saddens me, but it's the financial situation Western found itself in as well. If possible, if the money is there, yes, I think we need to preserve our history because that's what makes us important. Kalamazoo is a great city. WMU has a great history. We need to honor those, both those, the city and the schools.
David Anderson, Robert Sinabro mentioned tax increment financing a while back, and there actually is a question here. Could you please explain tax increment financing and how it has helped our community?
Yes, it is a very clear construct that was developed by state statute here in Michigan, and every city can create one area which can benefit, called the DDA. And here's what it is that it's an incremental collection of taxes that when the district is created, you have that base property tax value which generates a certain amount of property taxes. Over the course of time, as the property values increase in that specific district, then there is a capture of the incremental increase in those property taxes, which then can be reinvested in that district only. Great benefit for that district, but that does mean that the increase in property values does not benefit the city as a whole, because those incremental increases in revenues are reinvested in that district alone.
Bobby Hopewell, let's hear your thoughts on the racial profiling study and what should be done going forward.
Well, we have a policy that was supposed to be implemented a number of years ago. It was a non-biased policing policy. I'm not sure I have the name right. We had an assistant city manager, Faye Peek, that came in and was introducing this to the staff. So I've asked the question, what happened to that policy? It was about stops and how you stop folks. It's about calling out your stop when you go to have a stop, it's recorded. You push your button, tell your radio, I'm stopping this blue Corvette, whatever it is, and you state why you're stopping it. That was part of the policy. Transparency in why people are getting stopped, that's number one. Working with staff to understand that we want you to police. We want you to be aggressive, but we want you to be fair. So we need to make sure we get some cultural training in helping our folks as well. And I think we've got to help each other understand what it means when you have those blue lights and red lights come up behind you. And I'm not sure we've
Thank
done
you.
It.
Fred Lee Lawrence II, how would you induce the multiple governmental jurisdictions in Kalamazoo County, 26 of them, to consolidate as one with the city? Can that be done in less than 20 years, and what could accelerate that process?
I'll be honest with you, that's a little bit out of my league. But I can tell you this, that
the way the city of Kalamazoo is now did not happen overnight. This has happened my 43 years of living. One of the reasons people live in Portage and in Vicksburg and the outlying areas is because they didn't like what they saw in the city of Kalamazoo. I think in the future, if we do it right and we do it as a community, we can almost do it alone, because unlike those other communities, we have foundations that really support the city of Kalamazoo. And we have the resources and the individuals and the know-how in the business community to get this done. As a community as a whole, putting race aside, putting some of these other things aside, and bringing people together, I think we can do it.
Jeffrey Wiseman, do you think it's important to begin training future leaders for prominent positions in Kalamazoo government?
Yes, it's a very important subject. I think the city of Kalamazoo does train its future leaders, and I think a lot of our leaders can come from the business community. I think it would be good to pick out people and to have people volunteer who want to become more involved as community leaders. I encourage people to get involved with committees, get involved with boards, get involved with what the city is doing, get to know the city, get to know the neighborhoods. People have asked me, what do you do, or how do you get to run for an office? And I think the background is a really important thing to do and to have, is become involved first. Thank you.
Barbara Hamilton Miller, how can the City Commission better utilize Kalamazoo's colleges to partner and improve economic development?
I think we have a wealth of information with our students. They come up with great ideas. We need to have more classes where we can inspire them to put those ideas to work. MOFI, I think, was a invention sort of in Kalamazoo, and we need to honor that and find more ways that we can use that. Computers, the kids know a lot more than I do. My grandkids know my way around my phone more than I do, and how to sign up for things. And I just think we have a vast resource here in terms of our college kids. If nothing else, inspiring the younger kids and inspiring the older adults to learn more, too. Thank you.
Jack C. Urban, what's the biggest thing that the city government can do to encourage entrepreneurship, and how important is entrepreneurship to Kalamazoo?
Well, entrepreneurship is needs to be defined, I think, more broadly than it typically is. I think that means basically being a risk taker and being able to go into business for yourself and suffer the rewards and bad consequences of such things. Not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. There are people who we need who are not entrepreneurs. So I think I'm going to ask you to repeat the question so I can broaden my answer a little better.
What's the biggest thing city government can do to encourage entrepreneurship, and how important is entrepreneurship to Kalamazoo?
Well, I would say we've got to do something about the high property taxes we have here. I think we have to make it easier for small businesses to get started, simplify regulations as much as possible, but also enforce uniformly the ones that we already have.
Thank you.
People need to have a level playing field. Thanks.
E. Allen Hayes, can you name one or more specific Kalamazoo City Commission agenda items that have come up over the past year where you would have voted differently than the current commission?
City manager. Based on talking with individuals within the city and the questionnaires that were filled out, the phone calls that were made, and many individuals just did not understand why they were not heard. And I say that perhaps it wouldn't hurt to publish how the citizen vote as it related to the city manager, how many folks said this, how many folks said that. And so based on what I'm hearing, the immediate issue is that some folks feel as though that They had no voice in it because the ultimate decision rests with the city commission, but many folks feel disenfranchised.
Don Cooney, the downtown handicapped parking spots are often abused. Would you support raising the cost of handicapped parking tickets? The current cost is far below that of other cities in our area.
No, I wouldn't support that. I think that handicapped people have enough to deal with right now, and I think we should keep that the way it is. That's all I can say on that one.
Rico White, this question was asked earlier. You'll get a chance to answer it now. Aside from the Kalamazoo Promise, what do you think is the most promising or noteworthy recent development in Kalamazoo?
Fabulous question. I think the addition, I live in the Edison neighborhood, and now they just now implemented, or they're going to be putting KVCC over there, and I think it's three campuses. So that's going to definitely help the South Side. We've got a host of problems. We've got abandoned houses over there. We try to run a deconstruction company in which we're trying to do something with the abandoned houses. But like I said, with the addition of KVCC going in there, it's a $43 million ordeal that's going to be taking place. It's going to be bringing jobs. I believe it's 100 new jobs in the area. So that's something that's going to be definitely advantageous to the South Side. Thank you.
Stephanie Moore, what are you willing to do to build diversity in Kalamazoo in the area of small business?
Oh, of small business, absolutely. First of all, we need to do a much better job of working with our lending institutions, that they are more intentional in actually granting loans to small businesses, especially to entrepreneurs, especially to minorities and women. We definitely need to rally around that to make sure that people have an opportunity to really come to actually fund their ideas, especially when they have excellent business plans and can be viable entrepreneurs and viable businesses right here in our community. We definitely, when it comes to small businesses, making sure that we are offering a safe and welcoming community. Anywhere anyone wants to come and invest in, you want to know that your investment is going to be protected. You want to know that not just public safety, but the community at large cares about it, and that we all are in partnership building and continuing to build relationships to help support and to sustain that. And then we need to do better at getting people work ready. As we create jobs and bring more jobs to our region, we need to make sure that we have a developed workforce that are ready to go.
Nicholas Boyd, how should the City Commission address the high childhood poverty rate in Kalamazoo?
Childhood poverty. You couldn't ask me the question about entrepreneurship. Well, once again, jobs, and it really does come back to what we do. It all starts at a young age. We know that childhood poverty comes because parents are in poverty. We know that a lot of parents are in poverty because, guess what, during childhood they didn't get early childhood education. So we have to stop the cycle. We have great tools. We have Lift Up Through Literacy in the city of Kalamazoo, many great programs. We have a superintendent who is all about literacy. If you can't learn to read, you really can't. It's really hard to do math if you don't know how to read. So we really have to work through some of those problems. But it goes back to jobs. It goes back to partnerships and working with communities that do early childhood education well, like our community, and partnering with them, making more efficient use of programs and dollars. We have to encourage people here in this college even to not only learn with passion, but go ahead and go out and live their passion.
Thank you.
That's how we address
Thank
it.
Thank you. Robert Sinabro, what have you brought to the City Commission during your time as an elected official?
Thank you very much for that question. I was a department head for 17 years. I sat through 17 budgets. I've sat through three as a city commissioner. I believe I'm the only person that's ever served as a department head appointee and a city commissioner. I'm a lawyer. I'm a civil case evaluator in five counties. I work very, very hard. I believe in collaboration. I believe in industry. I believe in ethics. I'm non-ideological. I blend pragmatism with I do believe in compassion. Compassion, to me, is the most important word in the English language. I do believe in collaboration. We have a very diverse, by the way, city commission right now. I'm very proud of the 49th City Commission. I'm very proud of the role I played in it. And I'm also proud of these folks I served with. And I think that the balance I bring and the stability I bring is reflected in my voting record and my work ethic. Thank you very much.
This is going to be our last round of questioning here, so candidates, you are going to get 90 seconds, a minute and a half on this last question. That extra 30 seconds is yours to use as you see fit. My suggestion is if there has been a question asked tonight that you would have liked to answer and you did not get a chance to answer it, I would use the extra 30 seconds in that way. So, Mike Perrin, let's talk about the racial profiling study, and what do you think the city of Kalamazoo should do going forward?
Well, to be honest with you, I tried to contact Jeff's office, the chief of police here in Kalamazoo, and I have not gotten a response back. What I really need to do is have a little more education on the actual study. On the devil's advocate side, I wish that there was another study that we could compare it to. I did, though, look up the firm that had done the study for the Kalamazoo, and the results were the same for many police forces that they do it for, excluding Washington, D.C. I found that that was one place that came out with a different result. But I have faith in our police system. I have faith in Kalamazoo Public Safety. I'm sure Chief Hadley is doing everything that he possibly can to make Kalamazoo better place and to ensure policies that do racial profiling will not happen again. Some of my things now that I would like to say to you all, there was a question that kind of came to Stephanie Bell about our most resourced or asset of Kalamazoo. And what I'd like to do is I'd like all of you to look at each other right now in this room, because you are the most important asset. You people right here, us, who live in this community, who love this community, who stand for personal freedom. I tell you this right now, I am for empowering people while limiting government. I will probably be the most conservative, moderate voice on the city commission if I am elected. Thank you.
Tracy Hall, can you name one or more specific Kalamazoo City Commission agenda items that have come up over the past year where you would have voted differently from the city commission?
I think that the city commission made a great choice in the city manager, but I probably would have differed. I really liked, from what I understand, the woman from Middleville. I feel like I think diversity matters. I think women and diverse individuals bring a unique perspective and into different institutions. And I really think that we should have given Rebecca a chance because she seemed like she had some good, solid ideas. And as far as some of the questions, there are so many questions that I wish I had time to go back. And I would like to address poverty. I think right here we have a gold mine in resources with WMU. There is a program that University of Michigan uses, their engineering, School of Engineering uses. They go into the city of Detroit. They train youth. I don't see why we can't replicate something like that here to get our students ready. Teaching at KVCC, I get a lot of students who are on the promise, and they're not just promise ready. So if we can utilize the School of Social Work as mentors, utilize the School of Education as mentors, utilize the School of Engineering. We have a whole host of wonderful majors and minors, our programs, departments here at WMU, and it really, not to sound cliche, it takes a village, right? And so using the community, using WMU, KVCC, K College, and getting into our various neighborhoods to work with these youth. Thank you.
David Anderson, this question from the audience. Are you aware of the problem of underground dogfighting in Kalamazoo, and what should be done to deal with this problem?
I am not aware of underground dogfighting, but we already do have an ordinance in the city of Kalamazoo that prohibits that. So I would certainly continue to support that. I have something that I really want to say from the heart, and that is this. The world doesn't care about us. When you look at the 1,000 biggest cities in this country, cities that have a population of 35,000 or more, the city of Kalamazoo is number 442 on that list. We're in the middle of that pack. But I also believe this, that in this world that is changing so quickly right now, where foundational things are shifting under our feet, where the world looks like a confusing place, I believe that our inclination for local activities, local growing, local buying, needs to manifest itself in local government. This is the crucible where humane change will occur in the world. And I'm hoping that every one of you will commit to being part of the crew that makes that change and not one of the passengers.
Bobby Hopewell, this question from the audience. Can Kalamazoo require drivers to have their vehicles inspected? And if so, why are we not doing this?
That should be for the attorney, I think. my answer is I don't know if we can or cannot. But I'll try to find that out. I'll talk to Bob afterwards and see if he knows. Listen, I am just honored to be here before you. You have choices to make. You know, I'm born and raised in this community. I have worked my entire life in service in Kalamazoo. I'm a paramedic by original trade. I work for Borges Medical Center. I'm an administrator there. I was thinking about my typical days, and I was looking at my calendar recently, and I was talking to young people in the Edison neighborhood. I was dealing with public safety on an issue on Stewart Avenue a number of weeks ago. I was working with the startup community, Startup Zoo and Pitch Zoo, trying to figure out an avenue and a path for entrepreneurs. Talking about the promise just yesterday at the Learning Network, at the LISC meeting, talking about the working on the neighborhood challenges that are going on there and their investment. My work has been about how we bring this entire community together to create our path. I ask for your vote on November 5th to continue to create that path. Thank you.
Fred Lee Lawrence II, this question was specifically addressed to a challenger. Over the past year, how many Kalamazoo City Commission meetings have you attended in person? And this person says if that answer is zero, then why should your first meeting be as a city commissioner?
That is a very, very good question. I think Bob will tell you in the past 20 years, I've been down at the city commission at least 100 times. In the past year, no, I have not been at the city commission meetings. I've been working at Lowe's Home Improvement and trying to get back going to school at KBCC. What my fundamental thing is with being a city commissioner is having a broad mind, an open mind to things. We talk about crime in our community. Part of that crime in our community are people who have felonies who can't get a regular job. They can't go to actual Radisson or go places. They're limited on what they're able to do. That creates a culture in society, and you see it downtown at Martin Luther King Park. These are individuals who are capable of doing something who have been put a glass ceiling on because of their felony. I feel that we need to relax some of those things so we can get everybody back to work. We need every able-bodied individual in the city of Kalamazoo to put in and give an effort to grow our community. I ask for your vote. I'm open-minded. I would like to see this city grow, and I think I can help you out.
Thank you. Jeffrey Wiseman, what experience do you bring that will help manage city needs such as housing and crime reduction?
I feel like I've been really involved with both the crime situation and housing. I served a couple terms on the Housing Board of Appeals where we dealt mostly with rental properties. I've been involved with the crime situation. I've worked with public safety in several areas. I've been involved as far as taking an active role in trying to reduce crime, reporting crime, watching out for my neighborhood, which is the downtown. And that's about it on that. What I would like to do for the city is use my background and my passion. I mean, I have a very large passion for doing things for the city, and I've been involved with the city for a number of years now. I would like to start bringing different things to the table. I would like to let us collaborate with other communities that are facing many of the same problems that we're facing. We're not a unique city. We have problems that other cities are sharing, and We need to go to those cities. We need to go to Lansing. There's things that we have to do. We cannot do it on the local level. We have to go to Lansing to do it.
Barbara Hamilton Miller, what do you see as the biggest issue that our Kalamazoo public schools are facing, and how can the city work to solve it?
I don't know if that's a city problem. I know that city citizens can help solve that problem, and parents, I think, are the biggest issue with the kids in the schools. They really need to watch their children, help them with their homework. We obviously have citizens. We have tons of college students that can help tutor, but I don't know if that's a city problem that the city should actually be dealing with. I would just like to say thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I love Kalamazoo. I have the time and energy to dedicate the next 2 years to working for the city. We have a lot of exciting things going on. We have the Kalamazoo Promise, a new medical school. We have a new city manager. We'll have a new commission. And I really want to be a part of that 50th City Commission. I think I've done a lot of good work. I've tried to raise morale among the employees that are left. I try and visit the different departments and encourage them and praise them when they do good work. I hope you'll vote for me November 5th. Thank you very much.
Jack C. Urban, this question from the audience. Do you think the immigration reform debate impacts Kalamazoo? And if so, how would you support community members who are impacted by it?
Well, probably not as directly as many other communities, but we do have a significant Hispanic community in town. And I think the city police chief has made clear what his policy is, which is to not enforce the federal desire to look for ways to deport people. I'm very proud of Chief Hadley's stance in that, and I think the present city commission is fully supportive of it, and so am I. What more to do? Well, I support the work of the Hispanic American Council, and I support the work of Michigan United, which is working very hard to effect changes in Washington regarding immigration reform. I guess I have any time left?
30 seconds.
Well, I just want to remind people that Kalamazoo is a lot bigger than Kalamazoo. Many people live all in the surrounding townships. They have a Kalamazoo address, but they don't pay city taxes and they don't live in the city. When I was a county commissioner, I got to learn and get to know many other township leaders, people throughout the county. I have a good relationship with them. They trust me. And I want to build on my relationships to move forward with collaboration.
Thank you. Now your time's up. E. Allen Hayes, this question from the audience. Do you think that Kalamazoo does enough to celebrate and recognize the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday?
Well, you never can do enough. There's always more to do. The Northside Minister Alliance will now be collaborating with Western as we used to do before in celebrating it on January. But he has paid a price to do much for not just people of color, but for everybody. And there is more to do. There's many community outreaches that many things that we have within our city that many of our residents are not aware of. And we can do a lot better even in that, making our residents more aware of the many resources and availabilities to things that are available to them. But not only that, it needs to be made available to them. Not only that, but we're dealing with unity within our city. Certainly there is some healing that needs to be taking place, and I also believe in social justice and human rights. It is time for us for a new arising with you in mind. And with that, I tell you, I'm so glad we had this time together just to inform you. Seem as though we've just gotten started. Now it's time for you to do. Vote for Ellen Hayes.
Thank you. Is anyone here old enough to remember Carol Burnett? That's Don Cooney, what more can be done to make sure that all citizens of Kalamazoo have access to fresh fruits and vegetables? And how does that relate to the city's efforts to improve nutrition and opportunities in the community?
Well, I think we made a really good move in the city when we turned over the farmers market to Fair Food Matters. And I think they're doing some really good things there. I think this is a very important issue. And what we have to do is do more to connect local farmers with the people in the community. I think some of the programs that have been initiated around here are absolutely on the right track. Now, we have a group of people in the city called Fair Food Matters who are working with policies that make these things happen. We need to utilize them more. I've asked them before, we need them to put a plan on the table that we can fight for and accomplish in this city. So it's a critical issue. I want to talk a little bit about poverty. You know, this is a beautiful city, and we have wonderful assets, but we have more than 42% of our kids who live in poverty. We have hundreds of kids in our school system who are homeless. Dr. Martin Luther King said one time, we are bound together in an inextricable web of destiny. Whatever affects you directly affects me indirectly. I cannot become all I am meant to be until you become all you meant to be. So if we don't look at this issue, if we don't look at getting our kids a decent life, if we don't look at the people that are working full time and not earning enough to support their families, we're not going to succeed.
Thank you. Rico White, how would you expand the success of downtown to nearby neighborhoods, especially those that are within walking distance?
Well, like we said, you know, the Kalamazoo Valley Community College being put into the Edison neighborhood is within walking distance. You've got the medical facility that's also considered being a part of the South Side within walking distance. So, you know, with those additions, I believe that that's pretty good. You know, it's a little difficult, and I'm just going to say this since I got a little time. I really appreciate the fact that the commissioners are here, and I know it's some do better than others getting up in front of people and speaking. And I love speaking in front of people. I just not speaking in front of people with questions that you have no idea where they're coming from. So, you know, like I said, I'm very, very passionate about living on the South Side. I've walked in a lot of the shoes that we've been talking about as far as crime is concerned. I had a nephew that was actually killed on Stadium Drive Apartments, another one that was shot on Well Street. I participate in some of these groups. I talk to these kids on a regular basis, and I think it's just time to get back to what they call grassroots politics, and that's getting the pulse of the community, actually identifying what the community is interested in, and then bringing it back to the commission to discuss that. So once I'm elected, November 5th, that's some of the things that I would like to do, starting, like I said, grassroots politics. I appreciate your time. I appreciate being here, and thank you very much for that easy question.
Stephanie Moore, the recent Kalamazoo Gazette editorial board endorsement implied that progressive candidates would have difficulties managing a budget. Do you agree with this statement? Why or why not?
So the Kalamazoo Gazette outed me. They affirmed what most of you already know is that, yes, I come with a social justice agenda. Absolutely, unapologetically, I care about people. We have to make sure that we have good people like myself and Don Cooney and Tracy Hall that are at the table where the decisions are being made. Somebody asks about the table. There is a decision-making table. A lot of those decisions get made behind closed doors. And if you don't have someone at the table advocating for women, for poor people, for children, for neighborhoods, for business, entrepreneurs, and students, oh my goodness, we will be so left behind like we have been in previous years. So I am honored to be at the table. I'm glad that you all have entrusted me to be able to do that. I will continue to do that. These last 6 years have been a great experience for me, learning this budget, being on top of it, doing my homework, being ready and prepared for it, being part of the great changes that happened. We had the early retirement incentive, which was a huge transition for the city of Kalamazoo that we had to make sure we took care of our people, and I was adamant about doing that. So, you know, going forward, I will continue to do that. A lot of these folks are talking about what we can do and what we should do. Check my track record, folks. I'm doing it. I'm in the neighborhoods. I'm touching people. The pulse is right here. I'm connected. The resources, everything that I've learned, I prided myself, Lois Jackson, with sharing it with everyone else. And I'm going to continue to do that.
Thank you. Nicholas Boyd, your thoughts on the racial profiling study and what the city of Kalamazoo should do going forward.
Well, I have mixed feelings on that. I really feel that we have to push the issue, but we already knew that that was an issue before we got that study. But when I look at it, I say to myself, Kalamazoo is not an island. As soon as I cross a border or even come on campus here, there's a different police system right there waiting for me. So we can do all the work in the world here in the city of Kalamazoo, but we really need to start thinking about collaboration and partnership and making sure that we don't have just a better city of Kalamazoo, but a better Kalamazoo County. That's what I'm really here for. That's why I'm running for this office, because we need to start that conversation. I've been told many times you can't run on partnership and collaboration. There's too many people that you have to bring together, and it's so hard. Well, just because something's hard to do doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. I look at the two police stations out there on Riverview Drive that are a mile apart, and I say, I'm a business owner. I see two services, same or similar, redundant services. We really need to work together as a county, as a community. We can do it better if we do it together. I think we can look at the many partners we have in town, in our city, and we know it. We know it in our hearts that we can do it better if we do it together. If we start governing, looking not just inward to solve outward problems. We're the breadbasket of this county. I believe it's time for us to let the county know, let the state know that we have to work together. My name's Nick Boyd. Please vote for me November 5th. We want to see a 2020 vision secured for Kalamazoo.
Thank you. Our final question for Robert Sinabro. We'll bring this back around to where we started tonight. Is this the right time for an income tax in Kalamazoo?
Thank you for the question. I'll be very direct and clear. I'm against a city income tax under the current model. The model would be city only, and what it would do, in my humble opinion, would be to drive businesses and a lot of those folks on fixed incomes outside the city. The only way I'd support, we have to look at revenue. The only way I would support that is on a countywide basis, probably through state legislation. If we're going to talk about income, it'd be through a wage tax, in my opinion. I'd rather see it as part of a sales tax. Countywide, we need a dedicated millage. It would require efforts in Lansing. Some of the folks up here tonight said it. I agree. The Michigan municipal finance model is broken. That's one of the reasons that I voted enthusiastically to hire Jim Ritzema. And for the record, I'm very proud of that decision. I'm proud of the 49th City Commission. I think we made the right choice. History will be the judge, but I think we made the right choice. I'd like to close by thanking all of you. This has been a wonderful forum. We've had it's very challenging to get different questions from each for each candidate. I was born and raised in this city. We're very, very proud of our heritage. We're rich in our diversity. I've been a part of that scene now for 65 years by choice. I've worked very, very hard. I'm proud of my voting record. I'm non-ideological. I want to carry on the work that needs to be done. Please vote for Bob Sinabro to reelect him on November 5th. Thank you very much.
November 5th is Election Day. You vote for 7 of these candidates to be your city commissioners. On behalf of the Stewart, Vine, and West Main Neighborhood Associations and the Western Michigan University Institute of Government and Politics, thank you and good night. Please applaud.